We're shedding our masks and breaking down walls. Hell, we may even drop our drawers. That's right. We're going commando with Angela and Dana.
Hi, my name is Dana Sardano, and this is Angela DeMarco, and we are Going Commando. Going Commando is a little show that we put together because we understand the importance of authenticity and of being who you are, of stepping into your greatness, embracing that, and bringing it to the world. And I actually had a thought this morning about that, about the idea of, you know, people throwing the word authenticity around and truth and realness and all of these things. And I was thinking about how the word truth or the idea of truth is so paradoxical, because many of us say that we want the truth, we want to live in the truth, but yet at the same time, we fear the truth. And when we,
can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Again, they don't pull those lines out of thin air. So this idea that, like, we fear the truth. And when we begin to ask ourselves questions like, why do we fear? What do we fear? Realize there's nothing to fear and release that fear, and then have the ability to step into our truths. Because we come in here every week and we're like, yeah, step into your truth, be who you are. You know, what the fuck does that mean? So I just wanted to share that little extra thought that, there's nothing to fear. And once we realize that and embrace that, stepping into it becomes a much more fulfilling process. So with that said, all of my good morning, Ms. Angela. How are you today?
Oh, do I get to speak now?
Thank you.
No, all good. All good. And while you're talking about fear, you know, one of the acronyms, right? The acronyms for fear. When I was going through recovery for Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't talk. Caveat, I got no sleep last night. I kicked my son back to school after a week off. I'm like a basket case in a good way. But it helped me understand it, because it might be hard, like you're saying, like, for people to understand what does it mean to kind of, like, you know, be yourself. And it was fuck everything and run. Or face everything and recover, rise, whatever you want to do for the R. Yeah. But that really helped me, like, to understand it better. It's like, you know, you have nothing to fear. Fear, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Oh my God. So happy Christian going back to school day.
Happy Christian going back to school day. Oh, and happy Yaya going to reform school day.
Yeah, cheers. Bumps of the year here.
My 13-year-old got into a little bit of trouble last week, and they sent her home. They sent her home early. She got suspended for 3 days. And one of the things that they do in Martin County that I think is really cool, I don't know if they do it in other areas, but they have, like, an alternate school. So when kids get sent home, you know, the parents work, or you're trying to teach a kid a lesson, and they go to school there. So they don't get as, like, they don't get as, like, when you get suspended, it's like unexcused absences, or, you know, they, like, whatever, really, if it matters.
Who cares to the kid? Unexcused absence? So what?
Yeah. But somehow, like, you get excused. Well, yeah, exactly. But, like, somehow you get excused. Whatever it is, they have a place for her to go. So I, of course, took her. And she needs to see what it looks like when she's in concentrated area with a bunch of kids who get in trouble, what that looks like. And so I dropped her off today, and it was middle school and high school, and there was about a dozen of them, and it was hard. Like, I had in my head, I was going to abort mission more than once. I was like, oh, we really need to do this. You know, they're telling her to, like, leave her cigarettes and her alcohol and her drugs and any contraband with me before I leave. And she's like, what the fuck is contraband? She's like, what are they even talking about? You know,
they're going to call the cops.
They're going to get in any altercations. Don't leave the area because it's a dangerous neighborhood. And she's like, well, no, mommy. And I'm like, you're going to learn, kid.
Good job. Yeah. It's good. She'll learn. This is, if anything, this is what Yaya needs.
Scared straight, man.
Yeah. I could have used some of that. Honestly.
Yeah.
You're a good mom. You know, like, I could, you are, because I can't tell you how many times senior year I got in school suspension, where you sit for a day and you copy online. Yeah. So, like, I got really good at writing. And then I got kicked out of school. It's just for, like, not showing up, because I didn't show up to class and nobody knew. My mom had no idea. I barely graduated. She had no idea.
And, you know,
I was taking the cut slips. We didn't have like this whole like automated thing, you know, like no emails and stuff. My mailbox, we lived in an apartment and the mailbox was broken. So every day I would just go take the cut slips out, take the notices out. She had no clue.
And anybody who's been following along with us, and because we've already talked about the root chakra, we've talked about the sacral chakra. So we talk about this is actually a great segue. We talk about what the foundation, how that creates these kind of behaviors, you know, and who we become. And we've talked about the difference between you, Angela, how, again, you were completely ignored, and how I came from, again, whatever, my mother, there was that disconnectedness, but there was a lot of control in my house. So you were taking cut slips. I was getting suspended for fighting. I was fighting all the time because I was angry. And that's what I knew. You know what I mean? How do you let people know you're angry? You kick their asses. That's what you do. So I was telling Rob yesterday, we were talking about something about when you turn 18. Yeah, I was asking a question about when you turn 18. I think we were talking about her juvenile delinquency and like what that looks like. And if I remember correctly, and I was saying, I remember, you know, people say, oh, I turned 18, I'm going to vote. I remember understanding when I turned 18 that if I got into a fight, I would go to jail. Like, that's how my brain worked because So it's just interesting. Again, you and I, two different foundations, two different ways of going into the solar plexus chakra, which is what we're talking about today.
So yeah, awesome segue. So we're in season 6 of Balance, and we're talking about the chakras and the practicality of the chakras and how that different traumas at different ages of resonance can affect us in different ways. And we've already gone through the root chakra and the sacral chakra, and we're doing 2 episodes for each because there's so much to talk about. The first of the 2 is where we discuss kind of like, what does it look like when it's imbalanced and what age does it occur in and blah-de-blah-de-blah. Okay. And Dana gives you some things to think about, some questions. And then in the second one, we talk about how to rectify those imbalances and how to embrace and what a healthy, you know, solar plexus is what we're talking about now. But this is all based on Dana's book, Veda Finds Her Crown. And she's created all these little characters. For those listening, I'm holding up my Daya mug. Daya represents the solar plexus. She's yellow for that chakra. And we want to give away stuff. We want to give away stuff. So we hit over the weekend, we hit 200 subscribers.
Oh my God, we are huge. We are huge. Look at us. You know who I am. Oh
my God. You just moved your mic and like my ears blew out.
I'm so sorry. I just realized that my mic was like all the way over here because I was doing something at my desk and I was like, maybe I should move my mic. We are a professional operation here. Sorry.
Okay. I was like,
I'm so sorry. Yeah, sorry about that. Oh,
yeah, we're huge. We're super excited. Long time. No, we really appreciate it. And to celebrate those who listen to our show and find value in it. You know, we'll come up with something, but we want to give a Prezi away. It's going to have to do with comments. It's going to have to do with solar plexus. And you might get your own Daya mug. You might get a sticker. Who knows? Who knows?
It's Prezi time. Who knows? It's a Prezi time.
We're
going to
give shit away. So let's get into what solar plexus, what yours that resonate with.
Yeah. So the solar plexus chakra is represented in yellow, as you had said, Angela. And the greatest age of resonance is between the ages of 14 and 21. Now, just for clarity, if you haven't been watching, we're born with all of our chakras, all 7 of them, like I like to say, from the rooter to the tutor. But as we develop at the age of resonance, the effect that whatever's going on in our lives has on us is really concentrated in that chakra. So I have my cards for Veda Finds Her Crown. Again, all out of order, all out of sequence, but I created a deck of cards, and the description of the solar plexus on this card is a really good one. It's really succinct, so I want to share. The solar plexus is the center of personal identity, including the sense of self-worth, self-esteem, confidence, and personal identity. When my solar plexus is balanced, I like myself. I have a strong, healthy sense of personal power. I am motivated and pursue interests and endeavors that bring me joy, success, and personal fulfillment. When my solar plexus is imbalanced, I have low self-esteem, and I base my self-worth on the opinion of others. The crystal is pyrite. So
this is a really, really good explanation, because what happens is our root chakra, our foundation, 0 to 7, we don't feel safe. We don't feel secure. We don't feel grounded. We go into our sacral, which is about our zest for life, our sense of creativity, creating ourselves in whatever way feels right, even understanding that we're creating our own reality. When those two are stunted for whatever reason, we go now into those years of identity, 14 to 21, when you're discovering yourself, when you're really trying to figure out you're not grounded. You have excitement for life. You don't understand that you're the creator of your reality. You're not exercising your own sense of creativity, what it looks like for you. And now you don't feel worthy to pursue your purpose. Now you don't feel like you don't know who you are. You have no sense of confidence. And that becomes a problem. And if we don't learn how to reconcile the imbalances of our former years, we go into now officially adulthood, lost, rudderless.
Yeah. Yeah. So I probably started drinking when I was like 13, and I got sober when I was 35. And in all that time, it was because I know I felt all those things. I think I was resolving many of these things only in the past couple of years that I felt worthy of it, you know, worthy of these things, because I had zero self-esteem, zero self-worth. The only things that I was confident about, the only thing actually that I was confident about was my ability for my career. Like I just knew that once I was in college, and you talk about picking up a paintbrush, I charcoaled a picture on a big piece of paper, and I'm like, ooh, I can make pictures for a living. Like that was my thing in college. So I knew my career path. I was really confident about that. But otherwise, I had Maddie right before I turned 30. I was confident that I was supposed to be a mom, but I still didn't have confidence in my ability to mom. But I otherwise, everything else, every relationship, every friendship, every reaction to a situation, 9/11. I mean, it fucked me up for like 18 months. I remember like it took me to go to therapy and deal with that, the PTSD. Like I just did not feel worthy of any of it.
Of any of it, right? And
any of it.
And think about it. Like think about our society and the amount of people who have anxiety. Who have not just people that have been diagnosed, not just people who take medication, people walk around worrying about everything, about worrying about their ability to live the lives that they desire, about their ability to achieve the things they want to achieve, about dreaming beyond, you know, the survival mode that they live in to pay their bills, get to Friday, have the weekend, go back to work on Monday, be distracted by all of the things outside of us that make our lives a little bit more tolerable. That is solar plexus chakra. That anxiety, because anxiety comes from fear, comes from worry. Worry comes from not feeling safe because you're worrying because of what may or may not happen. That's right. All solar plexus. That is built upon a faulty foundation of fear. That is what it is. And I'm saying it so like a matter of factly, and like, it's like, oh my God. Everybody just take a breath, because if your foundation is faulty, it can be fixed.
It can be fixed.
You just got to look at it.
It can be fixed. Yeah, it can be fixed. And even like, I got through like starting the business. Am I worthy to start the business? Am I worthy to say to my ex-husband at the time, my husband at the time, I want to quit my just six-figure job and start a business because it's my passion. It makes me feel good. That took so much for me to get to that point to be able to say that. I am worthy of following my passion.
Yep.
That was freaking huge. But even before that, what I realized when I was thinking about the downfall of the marriage, I never said, hey, these are my needs. This bothers me. I never communicated that because I never felt... I hit the dream, you know what I mean? I'm going to have the baby. I'm going to have the house, the family, and it was giving me everything that I thought I wanted. So I'd let all the other stuff go about my personal needs. Like it didn't matter. And now when I look back, I'm like, oh, I never expressed what those needs were because I felt not worthy to do so.
Yep. Yep. And I don't know what it looked like for you, but for me, anytime I tried to get my needs met as a child, you know, anytime anytime I just tried to get my needs met. And again, maybe my ways were in balance because I'm a little bit more of an aggressive child. You know what I mean? But it was always met with, I was asking too much. It was always met with, again, it doesn't have to be crazy trauma. It could be as simple as, you know, everybody's throwing the term gaslighting around. It could be as simple as people not meeting your needs and telling you that your needs, what you're asking for is out of line. I was so damaged that the joke was when I was now a young woman, you know, my 20s, the joke was like, I would never, like, let's just say I ordered meat in a restaurant and it was like, you know, charcoal when I asked for medium rare. I'm like, it's fine. Because I learned somewhere subconsciously that if I asked for what I wanted, that I was a steamroller. I was a monster. I was an asshole. I was all of these things. Like, that stuff is explicit and it's implicit through your experience in these formative years. This kind of leads me to the, you know, to help people with a broader understanding, because what we need to understand is everything we do, everything in our existence is based on what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about the world around us. And when we go into these formative years, our beliefs start to become concretized. They start to become more complex and more mature from what the little kid believes. Little kid believes I'm not safe, but the 14-year-old believes I'm not worthy to get what I want because every time I ask for what I want, I'm made to believe I'm a jerk for it. Mm-hmm. So my belief is I don't want to be a jerk. People don't like jerks. So I am going to be a people pleaser so people like me.
Yes.
And there you are. And as you go through your life, your experiences mold and shape that belief. The belief doesn't change unless you look at it and change it. But your experiences, they alter and they build upon that. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, totally, totally. I'm thinking about so when I was in high school, I so craved attention. That's why I was cutting school all the time. That's why I was doing all the things. I never got in trouble. I wanted to be a doctor, and we talked about this at some point somewhere. You know, my uncle was probably the best male figure in my life, my mom's brother, and he was a doctor. So I was like, I want to be like Uncle John, because Uncle John's probably the sanest human that I know, and he's awesome. And but I started applying for the Coast Guard Academy because I wanted to be by the water. I wanted the military. I wanted discipline. Like, I craved it. I even was looking at like maritime schools. Like, I just needed like something, someone to get me in trouble. And I just never got in trouble. And if I did make noise about something, like, I was the ultimate people pleaser from probably the time I was 3 years old. Cause that's what I was, that's how I was taught.
That's what you learned.
You know, I was my dad taught me to be a little doll to, you know, entertain everybody. You know, that was my thing. My mother didn't pay attention to me, but I was, you know, I was the entertainer and stuff like that. So, but that, and that carried through my entire adult life. Even when I got sober, and like, I remember, and I've talked about this before, like 3 months into getting sober, so I'm like 35 years old. And they say that your age of development, this is what they say in the rooms, your age of development ceases the day you start drinking. So if I was drinking around 13, that's pretty much as far as I got from a development standpoint. Like, I never learned how to handle conflict, and I never, because I would just drink or party or whatever. And so I had the emotional intelligence of a 13-year-old who was a 35-year-old who made a big mess of her life and was just miserable. And I remember laying on this wood floor, and I was like, can I crawl under the floor? I just wanted to crawl under the floor. Like, there was, there could be no more bottom for how I felt. But talk about self-esteem, self-worth, all the behaviors up until that point. Lots of damage that I did to myself.
Yeah.
Lots of damage.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think of how much of the story I tell, because I don't want to get too dark and gloomy. But, you know, one of the things that's important that we think about is when we talk about worthiness, it's not just about how we see ourselves, our self-esteem, or our worthiness to pursue the lives that we want.
but what we allow in relationships. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was 30, you know, when I was married for 11 months, when I think about all I put up in the relationships that I was in, because I thought that I just accepted being treated a certain way, because it might, because when you peel it back to the belief about myself, that's the worthiness. And I remember before I married my ex, I accidentally hit him in the head with a phone. I swear to God, it was an accident. I was throwing it to him and it took some air. It was like one of those big, like, cordless phones. I threw it to him. It took some air. He turned his head, hit him in the head. It was like this whole thing. And what it led to was us breaking up and a year of me trying to win him back, because I felt that I deserved everything I got when he abused and mistreated me as I was trying to win him back. So I'm chasing him to win him back, and he's fucking awful to me. And I remember my mother saying, you know, basically, like, what did you do to deserve this? And I'm like, but I hit him in the head with the phone. And I remember believing that I truly deserved everything that was happening. And when I look back now and I look at younger women who are putting up with shit, it comes from what they believe about themselves. And so you have to go back and ask yourself, what do I believe? I truly believe that I was worthy of abuse and neglect. That's all I knew.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. You just reminded me of, and I'll share my story. I was dating this guy who was like a couple years older. He was already in the field. Like I was in college, and he was hot, and he was, you know, good sex, all that stuff. We had like 6 months. Amazing. And then he asked me if I hooked up with somebody prior to dating him. And I said no, because one, I felt it was none of his business and I didn't want him to worry about this person who was not a thing. And then he caught me in the lie. 3 years I stayed with this guy of him questioning everything I did, everything. Every day was a fight. Every day I was like, but I was here. And he's like, but you were there at 4:02. You said you were there at 4:04. Like every day. For 3 years, because I lied about something that happened before the relationship. Now, if somebody asked me, I'd be like, that's none of your business. It was before our relationship. But I didn't know. I felt like I deserved all of that verbal abuse. And I put up with it because I was like, I lied.
I lied. So, I deserved it. I hit him with a phone. Oh, I just got the chills. It's a really weird psychology, because we think in the moment that it's about that. And it's not about that. It's about everything that led up to that. It's about that 0 to 21, you know, all those years. And this is really, really important. The root, the sacral, and the solar plexus. Every chakra we talk about from now on, we're going to talk about the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown. Everything you're going to see goes back to these three chakras. Everything goes back here. Everything goes back here, because these are our formative years. I understood, especially being in education for all the years I was there, I understood that you could do the best you could do with your children from 0 to 14. Give them as much stability as you can, because after 14, now it's like, it's a God's hands. You know what I mean? You know, no, I mean, you're still there. You're still supportive. But the beliefs and the foundation that you've developed in those first 14 years is really what is creating their decision making. It's creating what they're doing. Even now with Yaya, 13 years old, I just sent her to alternate school. You know what I mean? And oh my God, when she was like 9, I had her in a dumpster. I was in a dumpster with her, just to be clear, to find her retainer, and got all sorts of backlash about, you let that kid go in the dumpster, whatever. I'm like, she threw a retainer out. We had been through all the things about the retainer. Don't put it in the napkin, have the little case, bring it to school. She had to learn the lesson. That's not easy parenting. Right. That is not easy, but the foundation is being built. So when she gets older, she can draw on these experiences. And for those of us who didn't have that, it's not too late to reverse that.
No, it's not. And even with Maddie, you know, when she was 15, 16, that's when she got in a lot of trouble. A lot of stuff woken up. And I didn't know, like, you helped me how to parent her, because I didn't know. because I had no experience of getting in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
My way of getting in trouble was my mom, you know, grounding me, but then leaving me with the Spanish-speaking babysitter, and I would take her keys to her car and go out with my friends and then be home before mom got home from work. She didn't know. Like, that was my way of getting in trouble. Anyway, but when Maddie got in a lot of trouble, I remember I took away all of her devices and I made her go with me everywhere. I was like, I gotta go to the grocery store, get in the car. I gotta do this, get in the car. She's like, well, I'm tired. I'm like, I don't care, get in the car. I've gotta go here, I've gotta go here. I'm in the kitchen, come sit in the kitchen with me. I'm in the living room. I made her stick by me for like at least 2 weeks. She had to do everything with me, like everything. And that was hard and interesting at the same time, you know? But I didn't know it worked.
Yeah, but you know what? You had to restore balance. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, when we talk about grounding, oh, I'm grounded, the kid's grounding. All grounding is bringing the children back to center. They clearly did whatever the hell they did because they were imbalanced. They were off center. And so what we do is we bring them back to center, whatever it is, take their phones, put them in their room, whatever it is. We ground them so they can now make reasonable, rational decisions again and go out into the world. So Maddie was completely ungrounded. You pulled her all the way back to super uber grounding. And then she was able to find herself back to center. And then go out into the world. And that's sometimes why we have to do these things that are a little bit more drastic than we'd like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 But as an 18-year-old, she's certainly far better than I was at 18, you know? So whether it's you're dealing with like your kids and them having issues and their traumas, even if your kids are in their early 20s, you know, you can help them by understanding what they developed during this age of resonance and help them now. For us adults, I mean, I literally got divorced because I have worthiness to follow my passion and to get my needs met and all this stuff. Like, I like myself, all those things that you said on the card, you know, personal identity and just liking myself. I'm my own best friend. Like, I love my own company. I'm going to see some random dance sting thing in the city because I want to go. So I bought myself a ticket. Like, I love it. I love this feeling and I can't wait until I'm on the other side. Like, I can taste being on the other side. It's like a couple months away. Right. I can taste it. and I just can't wait because I just get to be all of me. And I'm so, so, so excited. So
nice.
A lot of this stuff, it's the work I've been doing and it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. You are definitely the poster child for somebody who's done the work as an adult. We both are. Done the work as an adult. I mean, you don't have to hatch from an egg like this, you know what I mean? Doing the work and seeing the benefits on the other side. And that's why you and I do this. So we could show people that when we say, when I open with step into your greatness and show others, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about, you know? And I find also, you know, when people walk around super apologetic all the time, oh, I'm sorry. Mm. You're apologizing for your existence. That's worthiness.
I do that all the time. If someone bumps into me, I always apologize first. That's my reaction.
Yeah, but I'll be honest. I don't really see anything wrong. Like, I get it. You know, excuse me.
But that because of where it's coming from. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's because for me, like, it's just my go-to. Yeah. It's like, someone hurts me. Someone does something. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
First, I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, because you assume.
It's in the way.
I didn't realize this. I didn't realize this until hindsight. But with my mother, I never told my mother, like, I never held my mother accountable by saying, like, I never just said, I don't like this or this doesn't work for me or never, ever, ever. And what I realized in hindsight was there was a deep-seated fear in me that if I ever said that, I would hear all the things that were wrong with me. Remember, fear of the truth. Because I somehow didn't realize as a kid, I always believed I was wrong. So what does it do? It puts people on the defensive or it makes people meek, depending on, you know, your personality trait. And the one time I was 41, 42, when I said to my mother, I think you owe me an apology. It was in my 40s. We never spoke again. Turned into Chernobyl. We never spoke again. Craziness. But so my intuition as a child to never speak my truth came from somewhere. So we don't always realize, like I said, sometimes it's not always that explicit trauma. Sometimes it's just the implicit way of being raised. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I had my own Chernobyl moment too with my family because I was like, I'm going to say the truth here. because I'm not going to play this game anymore.
Yeah.
And I remember calling you. I was in the playground with Christian. I was like, Dana, I need you to co-sign. I'm about to start Chernobyl.
I'm like, do it.
This is what it says. Yeah. And you were like, okay. And I was like, you were like, you understand the implications. And I'm like, I do. And that was the last day I spoke with any of my family.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah.
And I don't feel bad about it because I finally spoke my truth.
And that's what it comes down to. You know what I mean? And there is definitely a balance between speaking your truth and being an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, like I joke here, be real. You know what I mean? I've talked about this before. Be an asshole. No, like when you begin to take yourself to task, really. Ask yourself the questions. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your imbalances, you know, because none of us are perfect. And work on reconciling your imbalances. And when you start to feel good about yourself and develop a sturdy structure, a strong foundation, then it becomes easier to say to somebody, this doesn't work for me. When you said such and such, it made me feel this way, because you feel worthy to be able to do that. And then,
and how you present it, right? You're not like, that just hurt my feelings. Why'd you say something different?
Oh, yeah,
no,
it's like, something. Oh, don't even get me started on society these days. You know what I mean? Shut up. You know what I'm saying? Like, if something doesn't work for me, if something doesn't serve me, I have the worthiness, the self-confidence to be able to express that without concern that you're going to attack me verbally. Because even if you do attack me, I still stand in my integrity, stand in my empowerment. I stand in that. So even if you don't agree, my opinion of myself does not rely on your opinion of me. And that's fucking freedom. Right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Pointy, pointy.
Fingers at you.
Dana, I have an idea for the giveaway. I have an idea. Do you have one of the Daya cards that are questions?
Yeah.
So let's ask questions. And if you want to earn a Prezi, answer one of the questions, and you can do it like vaguely. We're not looking for you to spill your guts like we do on our show, but on YouTube, in the comments section, where like, and if you're listening on Spotify, just head over to YouTube at some point if you want to play, and make sure you hit subscribe, please help us build that number. But answer one of the questions in the comments, and then we'll reach out to you to get your address, because we want to physically send you a possible Prezi in the mail. Dana loves giving away shit.
Oh my god, I walk into the post office and they're like, Norm. I love it. And I love surprise Prezis. Like, I love like when I have somebody's address and they don't know I'm sending them something, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my god, I don't know what. Like, that's why I want to make a shit ton of money, so I can freely purchase the post office. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So the question that I'm going to ask is it's a really easy one. It's an easy one for people to answer. So we're going to start small. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the affirmation is, I have high self-esteem and I believe I'm valuable.
Okay. I do.
So Crystal, if you like that sort of thing, is Desert Jasper. Okay. So thoughts to ponder. Do I value myself? And what do I value about myself? That's the question.
Very good. All right. So we're going to post that and answer the question in the comments. And it's not just a first come, first serve situation. You know, there might be 5, 6, 10 Prezis. Let's see how many Prezis we can make Dana
give away. Listen, I got Prezis coming out of my anus. So
Prezis. So that's super fun. And then I just want to talk really quick about our newest project. So Dana and I have, between us, so she's got 4 books, she's got all this artwork, she's got like a bazillion things and that she's done. I've got a book, we've got businesses, we've got like so much shit that we've got done. But we haven't done anything really new in a very, very, very long time. So this is, I'm holding up a book called A Woman's Journey. And it is an exquisite, exquisite anthology of all of Dana's Ubuntu girls, all of her empowerment girls, all of her nudes, all of her beautiful paintings. And I'm not going to show you the inside because we had tried to make this
a year ago,
and we used this on-demand service, and the printing is crap. The cover is gorgeous, but the insides are crap. And we had said, we're going to do it right. I'm going to find a real printer and we're going to do it. So we finished the layout. We got the first draft done, and I'm going to be looking for printers, and we're going to get the price on doing a short run for our first printing. And we're going to have like a pre-sale
and presents with the pre-sale, presents with the pre-sale, presents with the pre-sale, presents with the pre-sale, presents with the pre-sale. Very hot water, baby.
You know, it's just going to be incredible. So I'm going to be, I'll share like spreads. We'll be sharing news about it. We're going to be doing like, okay. Follow along with phenom-publishing.com, and we'll have like a join the mailing list so that you can be of the first print run. We're going to do a very, very limited print run, 25, 50 copies maybe. So you can have a signed edition, and it's just an incredible art piece. It's a coffee table book for all of your friends who come over for coffee
all the time.
No, it's an incredible book, and we won't have it done for Mother's Day, but it could be something that, you know, it is a beautiful gift to give to like another woman, like a mother, a daughter, you know, anybody. I think even the fellas are going to appreciate it, because not only is it just the artwork, but Dana does like write-ups for each of the paintings, and some of them are profound, and some of them are hilarious. Like, she's got this one painting called Bangs, and it's just, sigh, they'll grow back.
That's so funny, because that's the one I was thinking of, because some of them, when I was reading through last night, some of them are like lengthy. Like, I talk about like my the impetus and what inspired me, and I like really get deep, and then it's Bangs, they'll grow back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's Dana's brilliant writing, Dana's brilliant artwork, and yeah, so stay tuned for A Woman's Journey by Ms. Dana Sardano. And then after that, we're going to be working on the I Am books. If some of you remember, Dana was painting all of these versions of myself in aspects. And then I have like articles to go along with it. And then that's the next book. So we've got some cool stuff. And then we've got two children's books that are all like in progress. All these things were... Oh, the audiobook. Oh my God.
Got two audiobooks just right here. How is that even possible?
That's amazing.
That's why my mic is all moved, because I do different things. You know what I mean? So I'm sorry, I blasted your ears out.
So we're going to be releasing 10 Recommendments for Personal Empowerment on audiobook, and Decoding the Woo Woo on audiobook. Those are coming out super soon, long time. And so the audiobooks, we've got oh my God, there's just so much. And then soon too, we're going to be launching a Going Commando ad campaign. Oh my God, Alex.
Oh my God, we made commercials.
So we'll have some Commando gear that we're going to be putting out there for sale and things like that. So we're just like, right now is the time. Right now, everybody, you know, it's been like a very intense start, but right now is the time to focus on the things that bring you the most joy. And the two things that bring Dana and I the most joy are our creativity, and we do that through our books and creative works through Phenom, and then Going Commando, because we just have to hang out.
Making shit and talking shit. That's what we do.
Making shit and talking shit. So I know that this is a little bit of a longer episode, but there's so much good stuff to talk about that we're really excited to bring to you guys. And then by the time all these projects are done, I will be in a new place. So that's exciting. You know, like, it's weird because I've been really trying to honor this transition and not get freaked out, not live in the fear of what the unknown, because I can't make any decisions. I can't make any moves until things are settled. So I'm truly just in this limbo place. But I'm comfortable for the first time in my life. Like, I know it's going to be okay no matter what. No matter what, I'm not worried about anything. I just don't know where, what we're doing. So I can't give my energy all to like business stuff, and I can't give my energy all to like a particular thing, because I'm kind of like honoring this transition.
You're in the cocoon. I'm learning. You're in the cocoon. You're the goo. You're the goo. And the once the goo is becomes congealed, it opens up, you become a butterfly. But right now, you are dissolved goo within a cocoon. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Because I feel like I can't, I feel like I physically cannot give something full attention.
Yeah.
I just physically, like, there's like, you're right. It's like I'm in like this little space. I'm protecting my energy. I'm protecting, you know, my kids, making sure they're okay. And just, I'm still loving my home, you know? And I was thinking about, I took pictures, I'll show you later, of my cherry blossom tree that we planted last year. And I was like, last year me would have been like, oh, my, but that's my tree. And now I'm like, no, that's my gift to the home that I get to leave that there on the property. And it's going to be flowers and beautiful forever. I left a lilac tree and a cherry tree. And they're for this beautiful space that I've gotten to enjoy for the last 2.5 years. So.
And your sense of confidence and comfort and lack of worry with this whole thing is strictly due to a healthy solar plexus chakra. Healthy solar plexus chakra. It is, man.
Yeah, so be like me, folks.
With that said.
All right, break out the wheel. Yeah, we kept it for a long time, everybody. Comment below. We want to send prezzies.
Yeah,
subscribe if you're not.
What do you value about yourself? What do you value about yourself? What do you value about yourself?
That's it.
Yeah, what do you value about yourself?
My sense of being calm in this time.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
I was thinking, I think my integrity, I think at the end of the day, I have some pretty solid integrity and it drives me. And I think in the world we live in, it's important.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So trust me, folks. Solid. I have integrity. Okay. Ready?
Okay. Oh,
geez. I know, right? It was fucking crazy. Stay fresh, cheese bags. So close. So close.
Got it. Whatever, dude. We're not a dance team. We're a comedy troupe, you know? It's whatever. Goodbye, buddy.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.